You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Thank you for clicking play. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, and we've made it all the way up to episode 212 here at Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Does that make us New York Day?
Yes.
Is that 212?
No, they don't celebrate that there. Stupid. Guests tonight include Ann Conkey. She's a professor from Lawrence
Tech. You might want
to
rephrase that. You just said stupid guests tonight.
No, I did not say that.
You totally did.
We have a wonderful
guest. We're kind of stupid. It's true.
We have wonderful guests tonight.
I mean, Joe, you're right on.
That's true.
Segment two, we have Ann Conkey here. She's a professor from Lawrence Tech University, talking about their new IT programs they got going on and a whole bunch of other good stuff going on at Lawrence Tech. Segment three, we got Joe Foodie here, Joe Hakim from the Herd Podcast. You might find him at Aykroyd's Bakery, peddling some Scottish bakery baked goods, yummy meat pies. He didn't bring any meat pies, but he brought bourbon, so we like him.
So yeah, it's a pass.
Jeremiah Dr. Hooks in here from Daily Detroit, and we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about in segment one. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Everything was that!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
I know. Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
Well, what is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony and Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening. You have once again reached the IT in the D Show. We are broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. Woo. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is in studio. Woo. Find us online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on the social and follow us everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, and before we get rolling, so support for today's show comes from Bluehost. Bluehost is a top-rated website provider that powers over 2 million websites. It has everything you need to build a website you've always wanted and gives you the freedom to design your website your way without being limited by templates. It's simple enough for beginners and powerful enough even for the most advanced users. As we like to say, it's so easy, a Bob can do it.
True story.
And with fully customizable templates and third-party app support, you've got total flexibility and control. Plus, with a 99.9% uptime guarantee and automated updates, it's truly reliable and offers maximum security, including malware monitoring and protection with automatic secure WordPress installs. Not to mention, thanks to Bluehost 24/7 tech support, online resources, and expert services, you'll have all the help you need to succeed and save time. Bluehost is the best tool to build, host, and manage your website. No wonder it's been the top recommended WordPress host on WordPress.org since 2005. And now our listeners save 50% when you sign up at Bluehost.com/IT. That's Bluehost.com/IT.
Wait. So it's so easy, even a Bob can do it.
For 50% off.
The only reason I've kept you around for 20 years is to install my WordPress stuff, so that means I don't need you anymore?
I have no idea why I've kept you around for 20 years.
I'm going to have to give Bluehost a call.
I feel like this is the podcast version of unfriending.
Wait.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this
works.
They
replace you, Dave? I like the 50% off thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Replace me with Bluehost. See how that works out for you.
But hey, do us a favor. When you check out itinthed.com, check out the Meet tab. There was a meetup tonight out in Ann Arbor. There's going to be one the third Thursday this month at Falling
21st.
Down.
Yep.
At the 21st at Falling Down Beer Company. And soon to be MEAT, we may or may not have inked a deal with a local purveyor of sausages to make our own Monday Night Meat Sticks.
There will officially be Monday Night Meat Sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though we're revealing this on a Tuesday.
What?
Yeah.
What is that? What's a Monday Night Meat Stick? Let's talk about it.
German Landjägers.
Yeah, yeah. From where?
Paxifor Winter Sausage.
Okay.
They're private label and branding for us.
No
and
shit.
We have our label designed.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually frame out there.
Is
in
it?
The kitchen.
Yeah. I didn't notice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We already talked to them, and it's legit, and they'll store it for us.
That's fantastic.
We'll ship them. So when we do, when we go out to like Monroe Comic Con, and we go out to like all the different, and we go to the Podcast Power Conference down in Perrysburg, we're going to bring Monday Night Meat Sticks to hand out to all our friends.
And you will put sausage in people's mouths.
We will.
Well, we've been doing that for 2 years.
Right. So we always talk about – I always want to leave things off with the dumb story of the week. And I really think this one takes the cake. So woman goes out, gets drunk, decides to leave her car on the side of the highway and walk – to a hotel. So you think, hey, halfway through her bad decision, she made good decisions.
A good decision.
Right.
Yes.
She walked to the hotel. So what does she do when she gets to the hotel? She goes to the little business center at the whatever Choice Hotel, logs into the Facebooks.
Well, let's be realistic here. It's not just that she decided to park her car on the side of the highway.
She crashed it.
She was involved in a crash.
No.
And then decided to go ahead and leave her car on the side of the
highway. And had an expired license.
No.
So then she checks into the hotel and goes on a Facebook and tells everyone that her friend's like, hey, you got to get
me to
this hotel.
Oh, my God, I was involved in a crash. I'm drunk.
Well, guess what dummy doesn't do? She doesn't
log out.
She doesn't log out.
From the hotel computer
and while
that she had logged in on.
Right.
Yeah.
And while she's being very loud about things, the hotel clerk decided it was in her best interest or of the community to call the cops.
Yeah.
Cops show up.
Hey, maybe this will help our hotel to not be raided later in the month.
Right. Yeah. So then the cops show up and then basically get her for fleeing and a DUI, operating a motor vehicle under the influence, leaving a scene of an injury accident, driving with an expired license.
Yeah. So, officers used the hotel computer, which was still open, to her Facebook page, showing a message with other individuals stating she was involved in a crash and she was drunk. She admitted to having consumed alcohol 2 hours prior to the crash and yet still blew a .12.
Ooh, wow. That's impressive.
And this was right by my house on 75 in Rochester Road. This was like two exits from my house.
This woman is from Roseville.
Yeah. That explains a lot.
Yikes.
You're right.
Hey, sorry. Sorry about that.
Sorry, all of our fine listeners in Roseville. Offended by Bob.
They only have one hotel in Roseville, so it's like, well, you can't do it. Really,
that's true.
No, there's
it's on Gratiot and 13 Mile.
Yeah,
there's, well, no, there's the one that there's the one that you wouldn't pay for.
The one with the bowling alley that used to have all the starving artist sales.
Yes,
right.
Pay by the hour?
No.
Not that. Not
no, the, that, that those were all on Grossbeck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Flamingo that all the lights
I don't know.
Were burnt out.
I've never
point,
been there.
No,
Bob.
No. It says the
Can
Flamingo.
We talk about how Bob's well versed in these by the hour hotels.
No, it was the Flamingo.
But you did
it.
Ready answer.
It's not the Flamingo. It's the
F-ing-go.
Because the lights
because
got
all the
out.
Letters are always burned out.
F-ing-go.
Always
it
the
makes
F-ing-go.
It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. I got it. Yep. Got
but
it.
But the one big one, if you're security paranoid, if you're any least bit into your own IT security, this one kind of
Verizon?
No.
Oh,
the
no,
spam bot.
Oh.
That hit 700 million email accounts. Basically has every tech publication screaming, change your password now. And guess what? I put in all my three email addresses I use on a regular basis, and all three said, change your password now.
Yeah, have I been pwned?
Have I been pwned?
They're all there.
So, yeah, basically a Paris-based security researcher with one name, Falco, for all
– Banco.
Banco.
Which isn't that the little crumbs that they put on?
That's Panko.
Oh, sorry. I'm in HelloFresh mode because
Banco. Banco is like Belky, like that.
Well, there's Plinko.
Right. That's from
Belky Bartakamos.
Right.
Belky Bartakamos.
Me Post is where he was from. Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where, what are you going to do? Like, if you got a database, I'm talking like to the hacker community right now. Like, if you have a database with 700 million email addresses.
Yeah, what does
like,
that
what
really
do? What do you do? Right. Like, do you sell it on the dark? Hey, $19 to like everyone on the dark web? Do you send out your own spam to like
$19 per email address? Or
no,
yeah,
no,
for,
like, the
whole
database.
The whole database?
I don't know. What is that database even worth? A couple thousand dollars?
Well, they wouldn't sell it like that, actually. They would probably try to crack the passwords, and then they can then get into your other. If they can get into your email. They can try to get into your other accounts potentially with that password.
Because people are dumb and they use the same email address and password for everything.
They do.
For sites that don't matter, I do. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'm dumb too. Like I use the same password
for my important stuff. I'll have different passwords. My dumb stuff, like True Car. I don't care if you log into my True Car.
Gives a shit.
Right.
That's right.
It's True Car.
Looking for cars.
Okay.
Well, but again, it's that whole, like, it's not the individual breaches that matter. It's the amalgamation of all the breaches. Like, so it's the, all right, so now you have this breach coupled with the Target breach, coupled with the Home Depot breach, coupled with the Ashley Madison breach, you know, and all those other breaches that are out there. It's not the single database that's the issue. It's that master database that's out there somewhere that has all of this data all combined and merged and cross-referenced. That's the holy grail for hackers.
It's times like this I wish my name was just like Bob Smith.
Right.
Like instead of having like this crazy long German name that like there's
that's
only
W-A-L-T.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, it's just like Bob Smith. Like it could be anybody and then it doesn't matter. But like if you have like a crazy, weird, unique name, it's like you got to be like triple careful about this crap because like God knows, you know, my GoDaddy was compromised for crying out loud. And if I ever lose PodcastDetroit.com, Dave will fly me to the moon.
Well, yeah, you did forget to renew a domain once
I did.
Or twice.
Twice.
Yes,
I totally did.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
The domain went bye-bye. And, yeah. Oh, why did that happen? Bob forgot to renew it.
And then he wonders why I want to control things.
Fucking Bob. Worse, dude.
I know.
Worse.
Because that auto-renew checkbox is impossible to remember.
It was difficult.
It's so tricky.
How is Tinder the highest grossing app?
See,
in the app store.
I was going to kick this off and say, what do you think is the highest grossing app? And like Candy Crush and Clash Clans and stuff makes sense to me.
It's all about needs and wants, right? They're fulfilling a want that people have.
That's so – you just opened up a huge
– To what? Wait, to what?
Well, I mean – so
Tinder?
And
Candy Crush?
Well, Tinder at $4.99, like who? If you were in that market, right?
Super deluxe Tinder is like $15 a month. They said this morning
but
on the radio.
Nothing to know who swiped on you. Like,
what the hell is super deluxe Tinder?
Yeah, super
so Tinder Gold rolled out last Tuesday. And Tinder Gold allows users to see who has already liked them on the app without having to spend hours swiping through people's profiles. The new Likes You feature, which comes as part of Tinder Gold, aims to speed up the matchmaking process by allowing users to see who swiped right on their profile.
I don't know what none of that means.
Listening to the podcast Detroit Network. There's a thing called the V2V podcast. They were talking about online dating.
Yeah.
And they said Tinder's dead, and now it's a new thing. I know, Randy, you're saying, like, what's – there's, like, not Bumble. It's something like that name. So they're telling me – they're saying Tinder's dead. But now this is saying Tinder's the number one grossing app on the App Store. Bizarre.
Another thing about Tinder is that it actually costs you $10 more a month if you're over 30. So $9.99 a month if you're under 30, $19.99 a month if you're 30 or older.
Age discrimination.
That's bullshit.
It is.
Guys, like, that's terrible.
We need to tweet them.
The older guys.
If you're over 30, it costs $10 more a month?
They're just trying to push you to, like,
I'm not on Tinder, but what the hell?
Seekingarrangement.com, I guess.
Like, I was like, when I went to a barber shop and I go,
it's
I want
a reminder that you're old. It's like, I'm no longer fresh.
Yeah.
You've been relegated to farmersonly.com. Like, that's
farmers,
just,
yeah. I'm okay
farmers
with that.
Only, yeah. We can't say white people meet, but that's, you know, that's exactly what farmers only is. Yeah. We all know.
Where's the bell to hit that thing?
I mean, there's a video called Homie in the Haystack that is
Homie in the Haystack. Okay.
That's, not white people only. But
thank you. But I know there's one thing we hate. There's a few things we hate. One thing we always hate.
There's a lot of things.
Are you keeping the bell to me?
No.
The very easy thing to hate is a patent troll. And apparently,
good for Kaspersky.
Yeah. So Kaspersky Labs was getting sued basically by a patent troll. They claim they owned the
firewall.
The firewall, yeah. Right?
The whole firewall? The internet?
They owned the concept of a firewall, yes. That was their claim.
Really?
That was their thing, yes.
Okay.
Well, it was a firewall that's not user configurable. Like they even though they went to Kaspersky's, that is. So this was like a non-configurable, just a static, like, plain Jane firewall.
Well, dude, no, I told you, like, back in the day, I got sucked into a stupid lawsuit because of where I worked because some idiot claimed that he owned Method Equal Post, which, if you're not a geek, Method Equal Post is what happens every time you click submit on the website. Like, that's every form on the internet uses Method Equal Post. And this patent troll claimed that he owned it. And I actually had to sit for a deposition basically mocking this moron about prior use and all that kind of stuff. And it's a thing. Which, again, we're America. You can sue – you can file a lawsuit for anything, whether it's got merit or not.
The thing is, like, they make them for, like, $60,000, $30,000, $10,000.
Because they want you to – it's a nuisance tax.
Correct.
To pay them and go away.
Yeah, if they have their legal involved – like, it's kind of like with the person we know that, you know, to save $1 million client cost him $1 million in litigation.
Yeah. So and that's the thing. They said, you know, the patent trolls, his settlement demands kept dropping down from his initial amicable, then there's air quotes, you can't see that on the demand of $60,000. He dropped all the way down to $10,000.
At that point, it's like, come on.
And Kaspersky basically said, we're not paying even if it's a nickel. And so they kept hammering down, and good for them.
So remember that story? Was it 2 weeks ago or last week about the tool and die manufacturer that paid $800,000?
Because the fake invoice,
So
that was here in Michigan. Yeah,
apparently an Edmonton university got hit for $10 million under the same basic scheme. They fished under what they thought was from their actual vendors, and it basically how the fish goes, they're asking them to change banking information. Hey, we've changed our bank information. You know, hey,
please send payments here.
We're from CDW. We're changing our bank information. Send the payments here, and it basically $10 million got sent over.
$9.5 million US, which is like 370 million Canadian
to Hong Kong.
at least
it's 11.8 million Canadian. Yeah.
But basically, it tracked all back to Hong Kong. Once
Montreal
they got
and
of
Hong
it.
Kong. Yeah. Which, and Montreal, I mean, there's
basically Nigerian.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Wait.
French Canadians.
I need to know more. What did they do?
So they send an so these scammers send an email.
Nigerian prince.
That basically says, hey, they make the headers look the same.
Let's say it's a traditional vendor, like Ricoh Printers, CDW.
No, okay.
They know that they're doing business with.
So, in your world, let's say that one of your vendors, you get an email that comes in that looks like it's from one of your vendors that says, hey, just so you know, we're changing bank accounts, yada, yada, yada.
Looks just like the email you get from your vendors.
Please send payments here. Well, you're apparently smarter than
not unless I owe you money.
Don't shake your head.
Well, but no,
shake
yourself. Head no. But, so
but
this is
but
this
these
is
are
the
vendors
thing.
They owe money to.
But how much though? Like you don't owe you owe a million. How much?
That's completely understandable. Yeah.
And no, but okay, but no, it's not though because you don't owe like
CDW. Oh,
yeah.
You could.
Yeah, Cisco. Oh, yeah. You they could. Buy 10 million in laptops.
But
yeah.
You have to look into that shit. Like you can't just like okay that.
You should.
You should.
Clearly you don't have to.
Okay.
And they change their banking information just from an email. This is so it's perfect.
No,
fishing.
Right.
Yeah.
And stuff like that might be common to change. I would
listen, we have clients even at our bakery that are like with a $100 invoice, like we can't pay that unless we have like documentation. It's a $100 invoice. So if you're looking at like $500,000, like anything
but
over.
In some ways, a lot of times it happens. Less restrictions happen the bigger it gets, right? Because it's a matter of scale. It's a matter of familiarity.
It's that first million is the hardest to get.
I think Ed would know. Like major universities. I mean, I've sold to Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, mm-hmm. Smaller colleges. Mm-hmm. Just like a Cisco data center is $6-8 million.
Absolutely.
Easy.
You could spend a couple million.
Yeah.
And they're okay with that?
And they're buying
from you, Bob?
Yeah. Well, it's Bob, not the invoice. The problem.
It's not going to my house.
No, but I mean, like, from a logistic, like, every bit of money we send out, like, we are pretty certain where it's going.
Well, I wonder, Dave, how much of it is insider? Because how would they – like to match up those invoice amounts, like that to me that's –
Yeah,
how
do you know who's a valid vendor?
Who's the valid
– you know?
Right. Because if you're coming at it going, hey, you owe Ricoh, and we're like, no, I buy from
– HP.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, no. This time they got it right? Like –
What they do, they just send them out. It's kind of like throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Well, that's
– Is that how – that really how it works?
Oh, they need a 1% accept rate
exactly.
To make it worthwhile for them to do.
Yeah.
And that's a thing.
Yeah. That's – crazy. That's
it's
terrible.
Insane.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
So as we were talking about Tinder, Randy sent out like it is Bumble. That's the one that's going on right now.
What's Bumble?
It's the one where women have to make the first move. So
what does that mean?
Is
it a dating site?
Like the men can't reach out to the women.
So you're completely isolated
site.
From this.
Yes, you're screwed.
Wait, what? So because you're reaching out to men?
Yeah.
So you can't reach out to another
dude? I don't know. I've never even looked at Bumble.
Because women
– Because
it's women first.
I don't know.
Well, the interesting thing about
that's
it
is – That's sexist.
Yeah.
That's
no, the interesting thing about it is Match obviously sees value and offered him $500 million.
To Bumble.
Like, and Bumble's like, yeah. Nah, wow. Nah, we're going to ride this out.
No.
Yeah.
Half a billion dollars. Half a billion?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to ride it out?
$450 million they were offered.
They're going to ride it out?
Yeah.
And they're only 3 years old.
Wow.
And apparently they struck gold. Because, I mean, if you think about it.
All the kids are talking about it.
If you ever
talk to someone I know in their 20s who's single, they're all like, Bumble is the place to be.
If
Tinder is not the thing.
Because
if you
ever talk to
it, like, cuts off bros, like, stonewalls bros.
Right, because apparently.
If you're over 40.
This is what I heard from one of my single friends in their 20s. The new pickup line is, hey, baby, let me show you Detroit.
No.
Yeah, from the Quicken Bros. Yeah,
Quicken Bros can't show you Detroit.
No, they're going to
show you
really
two places
they
and like
they go to,
then they're going
to
show you their house.
They go to Bad Luck.
Right.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about Bad Luck.
Mexico and Bad Luck are right near each other.
This is no slam on Bad Luck, but you know that's where they go.
No, and here's
because I can spend $30 on a cocktail. And baby, you want to come home with me.
Yeah.
That's not
and,
the
and
thing,
here's where it,
though.
If it's free for under 20, it's $10 for 20 to 30. Once you hit like our age, it's $1,000 a month. And idiots like us would probably pay for it.
Okay.
I get that it. Kind of money? So, is there like a sugar daddy section?
Right. You're right.
For $1,000.
It's bumble.seekingarrangement.com.
Yeah. For science, I will download Bumble right now and check it out.
So, for science.
Read it for us, Randy. Do it.
That was when I think when Tinder came out, I downloaded it. And they're like, you're like, why is Bob on Tinder?
I'm like, I got like three. I'm like, they're like, why is Bob on Tinder? I'm like,
who's Bob?
Are you asking
who's Bob?
Bob who?
Bob?
Yeah. Wait, why is Bob on Tinder with Dave's picture?
No, one guy put me and Dave. He put our podcast
the group
picture
photo.
Up.
The group photo.
Oh, group photos are you should not ever do that.
Dude, from back in the like in the old Russell Industrial Center days, there was somebody who was on one of our shows, and we always took.
Wait,
the,
but dude, you met him. At the Russell Industrial Center.
Oh, no, yeah. We know who he is.
So. No, we know exactly who it was. And he put our group photo, like the 7-person group photo up as his profile photo on Tinder. And we're like, dude, like, no wonder you're getting like swiped left all the time. They think it's Bob and I.
the group photo, especially as a first photo, is the worst. It's the worst. Well, it's roulette.
It's like Facebook. Like if your profile photo on Facebook is more than one person, you're the unattractive person.
Yeah.
True.
So true.
So BBC put out a pretty funny article in their tech section called basically Juicero and Other Failed Startups in 2017. And apparently this thing looks like a big Wi-Fi hotspot, the Juicero. It's a Wi-Fi connected juicing machine. And basically what you did, and it's not like the coffee machines like that everyone has in their house, right, with a pod. This thing had like a bag of juice they would put in the back. You would app connect to it, and it would basically squeeze the bag of juice into a cup. But then basically what people – it was $400 retail, U.S., and basically it was revealed the pockets, the little bags of juice you put in the back, you just squeeze into a glass, and you didn't need this app-enabled machine.
So wait, it's a bag of juice for bag of douches.
There you go. You're a bag of juice.
All you got to do now is make an app to hit do, and people can't squeeze juice. Now they have to push button.
Says what? The man with like 7 internet-enabled clappers in his home.
I do.
That doesn't leave his couch for anything.
My Wemos are my friends.
What the fuck's a Wemo? What's a Wemo?
You have like your wife plugged straight in.
Wemo, you plug your outlets. It's the modern-day clapper. So like I bought my grandparents a clapper when I was a kid for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a Wemo, so you plug into it and it's app-enabled. So now I can turn the lamps off without getting up off the couch.
No.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Dude, I can change it's Bob.
Are you just going to eventually just fuse with the chair?
See, now,
that's like some Wall-E stuff, right?
I thought Yik-Yak was a thing. Like,
no,
it died. No, but it came up, and I thought it was like the kids were using it. You know, I'm not going to lie.
No.
But it raised like $100 million in funding, and it was valued at $400 million. This is crazy. How do you got an app that gets valued at $400 million. You're at $500 million.
How many times have we talked about the
valuations?
I know.
Grubhub, perfect example.
I got $1 million to
Grubhub
fund
is
an
bullshit
app
around
that
here.
Tells you how long the lines are
Chicago,
at the urinals.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Well, Chicago, it's fine. New York, it's fine. Like, I used it in New York when I was there over the summer. It's fine. In Detroit, it's bullshit.
Well, no, what? What
things?
Yeah. The thing with Grubhub is it's worth like $3.5 billion valuation, and it's worth more than all the Chinese restaurants it delivers to combined. Which to me, and they don't own any Chinese restaurants, which to me makes absolutely zero sense.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to be back with Ann Conkey from Lawrence Tech University. This is the IT and the D Show.
Who's still here. Unbelievable.
Right, yeah, I know, right?
I'm here.
She's sitting in my left, and she has not left the studio.
This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Oh, my God.
To tennis.
Welcome back. This is episode 202 of the IT, 212 of the IT in the D Show, segment 2. I haven't messed up in a long
You're
time.
You're not allowed to pop a Diet Coke in our mic.
Yeah, that was literally a Diet Coke.
Boo.
But this glass has bourbon in it.
We are, we're recording live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the sales guy, Dave the geeks man in the soundboard. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is drinking Diet Coke and popping.
And bourbon.
Oh, my God.
Kind of bourbon. What do you think of the bourbon?
It's a little sweet.
No, it's bourbon. Not it's sweet. Bourbon. It's not sweet at all.
I took this guy on a review, and I do take him with me to see places.
Okay.
And this guy disassembled this person's Traverse Cherry tea. Like, disassembled it. Like, it was...
No disassemble.
No
disassemble. From Eli? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Eli
I know. Yeah, I know that tea. Yeah.
He disassembled it like he was some sort of tea engineer.
Well, tea is fine, but this bourbon isn't sweet, though.
It's got a sweet finish.
Does it?
Yeah.
I've only had half a bottle. I'm not sure yet.
Jeremiah, Dr. Hook from Daily Detroit's in the house. What's going on with our buddies at HelloFresh?
So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh delivers new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned experts short on time. HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. I'm not going to lie, dude, that's one of the things I like. I am never going to go to like Eastern Market or – your farmer's market here and pick up a thing of oregano.
50 pounds of pork. Like it's freezing.
It's just never going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah, no, HelloFresh employs 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. HelloFresh delivers food to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free. Other cool thing, dude, even the hottest days of summer when stuff has showed up on the porch, it's fine.
We had a soccer tournament where it showed up at 2, and we didn't get home until 8:30, and it was all fine.
Because nice box,
right.
Lots of dry ice,
right.
It's nothing wilted, nothing. Yeah, it's all good. That's a thing. So HelloFresh is now offering light fall meals, and they have just introduced breakfast options. Have you tried the breakfast?
I've been looking for breakfast. I can't find breakfast. I see the recipes for breakfast, but not to order breakfast, unless I'm doing it wrong.
Well, that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So the whole thing is it's less than $10 a meal. That's a great thing. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to HelloFresh.com, use promo code ITINTHED30. That's going to get $30 off your first week deliveries. Visit HelloFresh.com, enter code ITINTHED30 when you subscribe. Dude, my kids love it. I love it. It's a nice, clean, easy thing. The kids get involved in chopping. I'm not going to go out and buy a giant bag of garlic cloves, but they send you the 2 little things you need. You let I let my 10-year-old chop. I let my 7-year-old rip stuff up. Life's good. It's a whole family thing. I like it.
Absolutely. No, yeah, you cut this, you cook that.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that. You're right. Allowed to do this.
But it's stuff you eat at restaurants that you'd never cook at home.
No, never. And it's that's the thing. I mean, it has been recipes that you would, in a restaurant, you'd pay $30-$40 a plate for. But you get it, you get to do it at home. And again, it's so easy. A Bob can do it.
And I do.
And you
so can. So can I, the HelloFresh model?
Yeah.
Is fantastic because of what you're saying is that your kids will get involved and teaching kids to cook and to prep early on.
Yeah.
There's no cost that's ahead of that.
No, it's a good bonding
it's fantastic.
Experience.
It's healthy. Yep. It's all healthy. It's all clean. It's all good food. There's nothing, what you're eating. There's nothing.
Yeah, they're not telling you to deep fry some jalapeno poppers.
Right.
Even if they were, it'd be okay because it was local and artisanal.
Yeah, here's your box from Fridays. No, that's not what this is.
That's not what's happening.
Getting into our guest here, I think this has to be probably the most patient and understanding human being.
She hung out for an hour before the show.
Right. Dealing with
all of the chaos that happened therein.
Talking all of our antics. Ann Conkey, pleasure. Thank you for coming out and hanging out with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So you are a professor at Lawrence Tech U, but you said you spent 25 years
in industry.
What did you do?
Well, I started off actually in IT in the mid-1980s. I worked on a help desk.
Okay.
EDS was my first real job.
Oh, it's everyone's first.
Yes. Yeah. So that was and that was in the H. Ross Perot days.
Right, right.
So that meant that women had to wear skirts. We couldn't even wear slacks. I don't know if you remember that. And so
when did you start, Dave? 80?
No, dude, I was
89?
I was at so when GM was trying to kick EDS out when they started up ISNS, so that was 98.
That was later. Oh, 98?
Yeah, 97, 98.
Okay. Because I thought it was later in the 80s.
Well, they spun off Jamisco.
That's right.
And then they went back to EDS, and then they just, yeah.
So anyway, I started off. I was at EDS, and so I was a technical trainer. But obviously, when you go out to the dealerships to do training and none of the lands work, well, you start crawling under desks and pulling cable if need be and hooking up computers. And that's when you really learn IT.
Sure, sure.
And so I've been a database administrator, systems analyst. I was a network engineer at St. John Health System for several years. That was another fantastic job, only that we had a budget of $75 million for every three years. So we got to buy the best Cisco equipment.
Sure.
Felt like a little kid in a candy store. So I worked on a network team where we designed the network at St. John Health System. It was on the corner of Mac and Moss on the east side.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've got a sizable network. At the time, it was about 6,600 nodes, 52 wiring closets.
Wow.
It was actually token ring that we had to yank eventually.
Lord.
Oh, I know. And so it's kind of funny because packet switching just got invented in the 90s.
Sure.
This is like mid-90s. And so in theory,
What's the difference between a hub and a switch?
Exactly. Yeah, dedicated bandwidth.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in theory, some of this stuff should have worked. It didn't quite work the way it was supposed to work. And, of course, it's a matter of life and death in a hospital. So those were very,
literally, yeah,
very fun days. And then I got promoted up into – I did project management, and then I was a director of IT. And then my last position in the industry was a VP of IT. I was running a whole IT department. And then I got into a lot of the security audits. We did PCI and NIST certifications. So that's
so then you wanted to get rid of all your stress, and then you became a teacher.
Yeah. Exactly.
I joke. Stress. That's what we all want to do, though. I want to teach sales.
Yeah. I did. I really enjoyed it. I was an adjunct actually for 9 years. So I've been with Lawrence Tech 15 years. So for 9 years, I would actually teach classes while I was working in industry. And then I want to say 6 years ago, I transitioned. And it was always in the back of my mind to do
that.
Got it. So that was
– I mean, for me, Lawrence Tech, it's always like that's the – if you want to go into engineering IT, that's where you go.
Yeah.
I guess talk to me about – you know, and I've seen what they've done in their labs and some of their environments. What is a student, I guess, if they're walking in there for the first time, what are they going to find? What are they going to see? I guess, what are they going to learn as they're progressing through their through their education there?
Okay. So, yes, we do have a wonderful engineering group. We also have architecture. I work in the College of Management, School of Business, which we're going through AACSB accreditation, so we're thinking of changing it to a School of Business. So the IT programs are in the College of Management. So we've got a Bachelor of IT, Bachelor of Science of IT, and a Master of Science in IT. So in the bachelor level, I get just a wide range of skill sets. Some of the students already have some experience compared to some students who have no experience
right.
at all. And so we've just recently redesigned our Bachelor of Science in IT so that the idea was I really wanted the students to experience all the different areas within an IT department so that they would actually go into industry and they wouldn't be blindsided.
Right.
So it's not purely theoretical. It's very practical. And so when I'm teaching, like this semester, I'm teaching computer networks, and before it was a one semester class, but in our data modeling, our database modeling and administration, that was a one semester class. But I've talked to actually people at Oracle and some of these other companies, and they're like, you know what, we need students to have more knowledge. So when we redesigned the BSIT, we now have them actually taking two semesters of the one semester being data modeling, the other one being the hands-on using like SQL Server.
Okay. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head saying we've talked to Oracle.
Well,
I think
we teach everything.
I think that's one of the things that the universities miss sometimes is not engaging with the vendors that these students are going to ultimately end up working for sometime in their career.
Well, it's the theoretical versus the practical. Yeah. I mean, we've had that conversation a million times.
Well, that was the reason I went to business school instead of computers because my classes were WordPerfect and Corel and it's like, give me, this is boring. Like, it just wasn't. So that was one of the questions I was going to ask is how do you, I guess, captivate or get these students like first year in? You got to learn your basics.
You got to learn your basics.
Right.
Okay. So you're asking a great question because I have students in my computer networking and I'm, first of all, it starts with I'm working out of a really great textbook, even though a lot of students today, they don't really want to read. So I really take a lot of time to go really methodically comb through the chapter and then verbally give it to them because I know they're not going to read it.
Or sure.
A lot of them don't. I shouldn't say that. But anyway.
But it's reality.
I know. And I want them to know the material. I mean, I want them so that when they learn computer networking, when we're talking about all the layers, the internet protocol stack, and like today I actually lectured on application layer and all the different protocols and how a software application developer would think about choosing different protocols. And
well, if you look at Cisco architecture now with ACI, they're going to be one and the same in software defined networking.
Very
much. It's getting all blurred.
It is getting blurred. But I want – and then I've also found some really great Wireshark hands-on labs.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing for assignments so that they're actually having to install it and use it and read it. And so I have some pretty in-depth. So it's a combination of – obviously, everything's. You have to give them some foundation, which is kind of the theory.
Well, I mean, and that's always been the frustration, even for me, like even coming from the vendors. Like, so, you've got guys that, walk into – I tell the story all the time. When Oracle 8i back in the day first came out, the guys from Oracle wanted it because I was in the emerging technologies group of GM. And so if you wanted to get any software anywhere in GM, you had to come through us. Okay, great. And like the first question I asked was, okay, guys, like, have you done real world installs? They're like, yep, absolutely. Cool. I'm like, all right, then I'm going to give you that box right there. Go. They popped the CD in. They got through one next and went,
what do I do now?
I don't know what to do. The default port that we use isn't open. Mm. Like, yeah, no, there's stuff running on that box. That's how that, I asked you, like, define for me what a real-world install is for you. They're like, oh, well, they give us a blank box, and then we install it, then they wipe it, and then we No, that's not how that works.
I know. So I want them to experience and have to – and really, this is the other thing. I'm noticing that critical thinking is becoming more and more rare. So some of the lab exercises, the hands-on – they have to critically think. It's taking these very abstract and conceptual topics and having to apply them. And I'm noticing some of the struggle is they just want to be told what to do. And it's like, no employer is going to pay you to tell you what to do.
To be a puppet.
No. So I tell them you can't be a puppet in here. And so that's also part of the pain, so to speak. And so it's a little tough because, a lot of students, they want A's. It's like, no, this isn't about A's. I want you to know this stuff.
Well, I think that's got to be the most difficult part of your job is because the joke when I worked at Hewlett-Packard and even at Cisco was, if you don't like your job, just wait 6 months. It'll change.
Yes.
And if you look at how networking's progressed just in the last 3 years, how do you, I guess, prepare a student to come out and not be in an antiquated technology? I mean, you have to be at the cusp of what they're going to see when they come out and get into the work environment. I mean, how difficult is that?
Well, it is difficult only because you've got all different – when you're dealing with technology, some of the larger corporations, they can pay for the more modern technology. But they're – the backbone of America are a lot of mom and pop shops.
Sure, sure.
So they're not going to be paying for a lot of this wonderful new. So if they need to be able to terminate, a Cat 5 or a Cat 6 cable, they need to know how to do that.
Sure.
They need to know that there's actually tools to do that.
Well, even with large corporations, too, there's so much legacy software, things that people are using stuff, Lotus Domino, things like that. All these things where it's like, wait, they're
still using it.
They're all interrelated systems. And you were talking about the idea of if people were told what to do, then they're not very valuable, right? Well, the thing is that you can tell computers what to do.
Yes.
And they will do it the right way every time, right? And so if you look at the automation of the economy, right, that's a huge thing that everyone in media is talking about right now, right? Yeah. Like computers are going to replace this, replace that. Well, if your job is something where you're told what to do, there's a good chance a computer is going to take it.
Oh, absolutely. And critical thinking is, you know, employers want recommendations. They want new ideas. They want innovation from that respect. I always would say, whether I was actually in industry or academia when I was teaching, I said there's two types of employees in the world. Employees who are going to be giving you recommendations, giving you ideas, asking questions, and the other ones that kind of just sit back and go, no one told me. No one, so they're not really taking, responsibility. So it's kind of, I actually bring that right into the classroom as well.
Right, right. And, this is why I like having this conversation, because all we hear about is prepping students or entry-level people for either help desk or for .NET Java development. So every boot camp in town, the training that we're doing with the displaced workers for the state of Michigan is for all level one help desk jobs. But you're taking them to an advanced level, like we're right out of the gate.
Real world. Having been around an IT department, there are personalities that are just more suited to different jobs. And so there's been some people that I have met or students that I have met, and they are just wonderful at being able to work with the clients and get business requirements.
Sure.
And people who are passionate, or I should say patient, to listen to people just kind of – sometimes people bounce all over the place before you actually get the right requirement. And then, of course, right when you think you have them all and you're ready to move forward, there's going to be something that somebody totally missed and forgot. But – you need people to be as far as business analysts. There's other people that are really great in data modeling, taking these abstract ideas. And so you've got these different personalities too. And so that's where I really try to get to know my students and then kind of steer them in what I think that would be good for them that they might want to take a look at based on what I'm guessing of their personality.
Yeah. Going off that, one of our biggest challenges is the I hate people. IT guy.
Yep.
And that used to be a thing where you could throw them down, lock them in the basement and throw
with their
down
red stapler.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. And it would work. I have a very hard time with it in today's environment. Do you see that as well? Is there some place for them? They still exist.
Yeah, I mean, there are still those two kinds of geeks. Like, you still have the kinds that, you lock in the basement, you let them do their thing.
Yeah.
You never let them near customers, and it's a thing. But if you want to actually go somewhere in the world, you need to know both sides of the fence. Like, you have to understand both the tech and the business.
Right.
You have to talk boardroom and server room.
Right, strategy. Yeah, and there will always be some of the guys. They are just not going to be client-facing. You wouldn't put them in front of a client.
And that's okay.
And it's okay. It's pretty. Yeah, it's okay.
But they're great at what they do.
Well, they need to be great at what they do. You can't just be mediocre. You can't just be no one told me, and yet not be client facing either. But I also warn people: if you really want to excel, the expectation is to be client facing, is to be technical, it's to be this whole package. We've got 6-year olds that'll walk up to a mic and sing in public. I mean, they're articulate. I can't believe some of these young kids are so advanced with presentations, or they are fearless in getting out there and talking.
Both my children.
Exactly, good example.
Bob, you have 3 kids.
Yeah, I know. Well, one's in preschool. One's in preschool. She's
holding off on that one, but I'm just saying the competition to with the younger kids. I mean, oh my goodness. So anyway, you've got to have this client facing, hopefully, part and understand the business and care about that part. But if you just don't like the people part, that might not go.
Yeah. So, great. I mean, I guess to one of the things we want to, offering a master's degree in IT, is that still, how does that separate you from, the one that gets the bachelor's or the ones that, because obviously they're going to be first in line. Now, if you get a master's degree, now we're talking about, is that your next gen CISO?
Now you're starting to overqualify yourself.
Well, you're asking a great question. Actually, in the master's, I find there's a lot of career switchers. We would start getting, especially when there was a downturn of the economy, people were going back to school. And people were realizing, okay, my first kind of job where I was headed, I don't think that's the career I need to – I need to go into IT.
Right.
So we do have a lot of career switchers that got their bachelor's in who knows what, and then they're doing – they're obviously having to do some foundational work. But getting a master's in IT is going to help them. They don't want to get a second bachelor's. So by getting the master's in IT, not everybody, but we had at one point a fluctuation of that. We've got from a STEM career, you can stay in the country longer if you're on a foreign visa, if you're in a technology, an IT program versus an MBA. So there's a little bit of that. So
it's competitive now.
Very competitive.
Especially when you want those senior gigs.
Well, yes. I actually, funny enough, it took me how many years to get my bachelor's degree? 17. So I was a director of IT. I had a staff of probably 62. And I had a high school diploma. And it was really – those were the days. It was what you knew.
Sure.
It was what you could do. But nowadays, if you don't have a bachelor's, you can't even get a job. If you don't even have a master's, in some cases, you can't really get – you can't get into the management slots.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing. At my level of sales, it's always like bachelor's or master's degree preferred.
Yeah.
And it's like – meh. You know, like yeah. I'm bringing in 20 years in a Rolodex the size of the planet.
But there are some yes, that's true. And there are some companies that if you don't have a master's, they won't even look at you.
Wow.
So there is an element of I know. It just kind of.
Well, I think it depends what you're doing. If you're in a manager, if you're in a,
it depends on what
if you're in a VP slash management slash the, if that's what you want to groom yourself for, I think you have to go that.
Yeah,
route.
You do.
You know, it's you know unless you're. You know, a dynamo and you set every sales record on the planet. You're not, you know.
So not you.
So not me, right.
and there might be exceptions with sales. I mean, it's just other positions, you know, for sales, it's just skill sets that the degree isn't going to necessarily
sure.
give you those skill sets.
No, I figured that out a long time ago.
It is or you're not, right. So, but on a technical level, though, or even there's just a variety, whether it's engineering or architecture, that master's degree makes it.
So what's, I guess – talk to me about – we'll end this on like what's the wow factor when you walk into LTU and like what are some of the cool things that like students walk in the first time and they're like kind of – is there anything they're blown away about or
– You can be a geek and apparently still make the football team is what I've learned.
I'm telling
really?
You.
Yeah.
We have – and again, I guess I've had the privilege of being there 15 years. And so in the last five, we have had a president, Dr. Virender Modgill. He has made some incredible leadership decisions, bringing in a football team, bringing back basketball.
Yeah, LTU has a football team.
I saw there's a girls' soccer team.
There's soccer. Yeah. The ladies have soccer, hockey, basketball, lacrosse. We've got tennis. I mean, we've got all sorts of different sports teams. They are just phenomenal. It's just exciting to see that. We've got a third dorm going up. We have a nursing program just kicked off. So the leadership decisions and some of these things that are happening just in the last couple of years have just – that's a wow. I think it's a wow.
What's the – I don't know. What's the mascot? I had no idea there was a
– It's a devil. It's a – they tried to make it – in a couple of years, we've got a really great graphic art group
right.
In advertising. So there was a few different drawings and so that's that I guess being in our PC world, we had to be careful. I can't speak for the university, I should say. This is my, you know, the world according to Anne. But you can make the mascot, like pictures of it more comical versus sinister.
Right,
because
right.
After all, it's a blue devil.
Right. It's like Duke. Okay. Well, no, I went to Wayne State, so we had to change from the Tartars to the Warriors, which completely deflated anything I liked about that school. Well,
Grosse Pointe South, Blue Devils.
We got Blue Devils. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So there's Blue Devils all over the place. I just – you got to be careful. I don't know.
No, I get it.
You don't want to be sinister, but –
It's okay to be a drunken Irishman.
Absolutely.
Just don't be a blue devil. Like,
nice. Right. Okay, got it. Yeah.
On that note, how does anyone, I guess, apply or read up more about the programs or what you have going on?
We got a new website that just went out too. I got to give a shout out to Christian. We've got quite a few people in our marketing department. Our new website looks great. So, yes, we have a lot more information out there. It's more easy to read. And, yes, if people are interested in taking a look at the programs, we have over 100 programs between all four colleges.
Okay.
So there's something for everyone.
So it's ltu.edu.
ltu.edu.
And if you want to get into the IT, you just dive down and go
You can go into management. The IT department's in the management.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we'll put it in the show notes. And anything else you want to before we part ways?
Oh, that's the toughest question.
Yeah, what else?
Yeah, exactly. I guess I could talk quite a bit about Lawrence Tech, but yeah, it's a great school. It's really good.
No, absolutely. We've been guest speakers there a few times. I think just on networking, right? Or not?
Yeah, the networking
handshake
stuff, yeah.
Networking, not yep. Cisco.
Yes, the good stuff, right. The good right. Kind where people need that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
find a job, not trace IPs.
Yes. That's, yeah, you know, finding a job. That's another thing about Lawrence Tech is we do have a very strong career services, and I have a lot of employers actually come to the professors directly. I know I've had many talks. They want our best students, so. They are
they're
not,
smart.
They're not in want of a job.
Not the students, the companies.
Well, but both.
But our students are not wanting for jobs.
Awesome.
There's plenty of internships. There's a lot of opportunity.
No, but that was we were trying to say, like, hey, it's great that you got this degree and it's great that you're smart, but you got to get out there.
And then
the network's like you're probably the most trusted, not just going out networking, but networking within your company.
But, you know, that's hard. I just know talking with and maybe because these kids are young or I don't know, they just networking, it's a little awkward. So that's why I was telling my students, get out into the LinkedIn. Get into LinkedIn. Get your profile set up.
Sure.
Yep.
Get out into the IT and the D. Find them and apply for membership or, you know, click on. I did that 2 years ago. You guys accepted me 2 years ago.
Right.
So that's kind of good.
Yeah, some slip through every now and then.
Exactly.
No, what we say is the worst thing that happens, it's a free event. The worst thing that happens is you have a beer and maybe you watch SportsCenter for 15 minutes and then you leave.
It's fantastic.
That's the worst thing that can happen. If that's the worst thing that happens in your day, like it's a pretty
it's
good
an
day.
Okay
that's
day.
A right. good day. Right. Exactly. And it gives people place to go. The website has great information. I've been out there.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Well, Ann, appreciate it. If we want to find you on LinkedIn, Ann Conkey, that with a C.
Actually, it's K-O-H.
Is it
K-N-K-E?
Oh.
But I always say C-O-N-K-E-Y. That's the phonetic.
Okay. All right. That's why I got the C. All right. Ann, appreciate the time. And I look forward to having you guys back. And definitely appreciate the support for Lawrence Tech.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with he's almost asleep. Joe Foodie.
The eyes are starting to fade.
Yeah. Totally.
Joe Foodie will be here in segment
so
three.
So probably fewer F-bombs in segment three.
Yeah, I know, right?
I didn't know they weren't allowed. Sorry, guys.
We're going to be talking to Detroit.
Sorry.
We're going to be talking the Detroit food scene. Should be a fun conversation. This is the IT and the D show. And
hey,
we
will be right back.
Oh, you stole my
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITinthed.com. It was like the third crisscross song you've played during the breaks. What is wrong with you, Dave?
No, I played one before the show even started, and then this one. And
he just wants to make you jump.
I just want to make sure you understand that Inside Out is weedy 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 whack.
Oh, God, don't ever do that again. This is segment three, episode 212 of the one and only IT and the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is in the house. And we just
Nuri the FNG is off, I don't know, tripping balls somewhere.
No, we got news that he made it out of
he survived Burning Man.
Yeah, he did not.
He's not the guy who ran into the fire.
No.
But apparently he was on the periphery of that video.
He saw it.
Yes.
That is Jeremiah Dr. Hook from DailyDetroit.com. You can find us online at itinthed.com. Read our blogs. Find out where we're going to be on the Meet tab. That's M-E-E-T.
E-E-T.
And then do us a favor. Subscribe to us everywhere. Find podcasts are sold.
And if we don't ask for much, just leave us a review. That's
we haven't
all
got
we
one
ask.
In a long time on iTunes.
No one loves us. No.
Even if they say you suck.
We love that.
Dude, exactly. One star, worst meatball sandwich ever. We're happy.
Yeah. Listen to the podcast.
So glad
got
that's
diarrhea.
Back, by the way.
Huh?
Yes, that is
so glad that's back.
There's a series of really good episodes, by the way. An unsolicited plug here, but you guys touch on not only the Blackfin, but the amazingness and
so. Hold on. What Jared's talking about is Dave and
the
I.
Other project.
Dave and I have a side project. If you haven't been aware of it, called Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever. It goes back to a sandwich board out on the street.
Outside of a joint in Brooklyn.
It says, come on in and try that worst meatball sandwich that one guy on Yelp ever had. And it became this viral sensation. Ha, funny. And I had
we
a hobby.
Yelp.
And we hate Yelp. Not only do we hate Yelp, but I made it a hobby of reading the one-star reviews like when we would go out to the places we liked and making fun of those people. So we turned it into audio.
Let's be
form.
Clear. By we, you mean you and your wife.
Right.
Not you and I. I would not let you read one star.
No, I'm not going to read to you.
But also, like, Yelp reviews, like the reviews on Yelp, like there's an issue of standards, and most of them don't have standards.
The one that drives us nuts Dave. The one that drives us the most nuts is I've been going to this place for 10 years and it's always been great, but this one time.
Yeah.
And now they're leaving a one
up.
Star.
Like, or messed up. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I messed up. Sorry. I apologize. That's messed up.
Or the sushi place where people are mad about the burgers at the sushi place, right?
Yeah, that's the vegan menu at a barbecue place.
See, that's like you go to Mr. Joe's Chop House and you bitch about the lack of vegan options.
Yeah, that's a problem.
There's a shrub in the parking lot with your name on it. You're not supposed to be there.
My thing is, I can't go to a vegan place and go, what's your meat option?
No, you can't.
Throw it out.
How's your ribs?
Right.
Our bakery, people come in and say, why don't you have gluten-free stuff? Well, it's like we literally tell you, like, everything has gluten.
It's
and if you
bakery.
Walk through the door...
Like, do you have extra gluten options?
Yeah,
I would buy those.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, double gluten plus dairy. We have that.
So,
but don't
hold on. Let's set this up perfect. You're listening. That's Joe Foodie. You can hear him on the Herd podcast. It's on Podcast
it's
Detroit.
A great little show. Basically, talking about the food and drink scene here in Metro Detroit.
I've become a regular subscriber.
You and Nick Britsky.
Britsky.
Nick Drinks.
Jason
Bartender
Liner.
Extraordinaire.
Yep.
Basically talking the Detroit food scene.
I've noticed Dave wants nothing to do with this place anymore.
Dave K?
Yeah.
He's like, there's some things that are happening.
He's cool.
No. He'll be back next
one
week.
One of those people like me who start to dissolve when you go north of 8 Mile?
No, I've heard you.
No, you guys are like, we've had these, like, you guys can't just have stuff. You guys have to, it has to be like the super duper hipster artisanal,
Amish
monk.
You're bitching
about the Domino's pizza that I ordered.
Yeah, just earlier, you were going into it. I feel like that should just be the artisanal show.
So I'm an asshole, right? Like, I literally admit.
Wait, yes.
I'm an artisanal.
You're the artisanal.
What's wrong with Domino's pizza?
There's a lot wrong with Domino's pizza.
No, hold on. It's a $5. Bring it to here. Like
bring
no
it
word,
to here
like,
pizza.
I'm hungry and maybe I'm a little high. I'm
not
high, but if I was, it might be good.
Like, I don't like the thin crust stuff. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's
fair.
Not a thing. Yeah, no. And I'm just saying.
All right,
that's
well,
not
hey,
so
you know what? When Giordano's excited. Comes yeah. to town, they're all you.
Okay. Giordano's can go screw itself.
No. Wait.
Let's talk about that.
Wait. So we're going to get buddies. We're going to get Giordano's. On the Herd podcast, and we're going to talk to them together.
Hold on, Jared.
We're going to talk about Chicago style versus Detroit style, and we're going to talk about that shit because that's something that's important.
Jeremiah, are you like Giordano shouldn't come here because it's not Detroit enough, asshole?
No.
Giordano's pizza is more appropriately a casserole.
It's a quiche more than a casserole.
Well, first off, when you get Giordano's, you want to make sure you put on a snorkel because when you dive into it, it's so full of like sauce and crap. But the reality is.
What's the reality, Jer?
You just broke this podcast.
I did. Why is
Dave laughing so hard?
I mouthed something.
Snorkeling in a pizza? Is that a thing? That's a problem.
What it was? Absolutely,
Jer.
Just diving into something.
My greater point.
Saucy, and wet. No,
that's
not a thing.
I'm good. Go ahead.
Is that going to be? Is that going to be beep?
The Hummer now.
What's wrong with the pizza? Like,
no,
to me,
I don't. So here's my problem. Why the hell isn't Buddy's downtown?
I don't know. Ask Mr. Buddy.
Yeah,
because that is a problem.
Yeah. So you're not.
So,
you're not,
you know what I learned? Here's
so
what
I'm
not I learned.
Mad at Giordano's. I'm mad at Buddy.
No. Wait, so I learned. I learned a story from a guy who was here for a podcast.
From a guy from a person.
No, just a dude and like old dude, and he was a phenomenal guy. We had like a whole bunch of great conversations. We shared a whole bunch of chats over cigarettes, and he was like, "Look, he's like when I was a kid, and he's like 70, and he was like, you know, when I was a kid, I lived in Hamtramck. I lived, you know, here and here, and he's like, and the place on the corner was this pizza joint,
and Six and Conan, man.
He's like, there was this pizza joint. And he's like, and when, like, one day the partners decided to split and, like, and one went off and formed Shields and his partner was Buddy. And that's, like, that's where Buddy's Pizza and Shields Pizza came from was that little joint in Hamtramck.
Did Louis have something to do with this,
too? That's, yeah.
Like one of the cooks or something?
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's –
Yeah.
But like they probably think their Detroit location, Six and Cone, the original.
Yeah. Well, that's totally fair. But Little Caesars is terrible. And it just like it dominates downtown because of the Illich and everything.
So you're not a fan of the Dojo?
The Dojo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's an awful name.
That's the only
is that
name.
What you're talking about? It's not Kid Rock Central?
No, like, it's not, the Dojo.
I mean,
Little Caesars Arena, kiss my ass. There's the Dojo.
Pizza's like, hold on. Pizza to me is like beer. You can like that barrel aged monk art style IPA raspberry, and I can like a Black Label or a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You can. That's very true.
To me, that's Domino's. Yeah. To me, that's going all the way up to a Giordano's. And
all the way up
style.
To like Giordano's is like your top.
No, but
level?
That's like, no, but to me, I consider that upper echelon pizza.
Is it though?
No. I don't know. I don't
like. I mean, we're looking at Cipino's. We're looking
not
at
even
like
among Chicago pizzas. I don't even think it's upper echelon. But we're gonna lose our mind because in Detroit, on the internet, we lose our absolute ever loving minds anytime anything national comes here because we're so desperate for attention.
But Jer,
like it's true. Terrible.
But Jer,
it's terrible.
You keep telling us that Detroiters hate chains.
No, I will tell you Detroiters love chains. The internet will tell you they hate them. But that damn Applebee's parking lot is full every damn night. And there's a reason. We don't want to admit it, but Detroiters in general, I mean, I remember there was this fad on the internet for a while. It was like an inside joke. Like the thing that'll save Detroit is a cheesecake factory, right? And people still feel that way, right? Because it's like a chain is validation to some folks that you're a
real thing. So does Sopa, man. Whole Foods is going to save all of us.
But here's the thing, right? Like, so the article in Crain's last week, or 10 days ago, was like millennials are killing chain restaurants.
Well, I mean, every outlet has written that story.
Well, okay. But that's fine.
Every outlet has written millennials are killing X.
Right. But however, Applebee's can't survive on doing the shit that they keep doing.
Bennigan's, you look at every single restaurant.
Didn't you guys just have a whole bunch of Applebee's stuff in here last
week? We just talked about it. It was terrible. Applebee's was bad. Like, the food wasn't good. It was nonsense. Like,
I'm not going to
lie.
I kind of liked the brownies. They were good.
Oh, we didn't even try the brownies. We didn't get to them.
They were good.
They were good?
But if you look at the indoor malls, they're all dead. You got to have the outdoor spaces like at the Village.
That you can bring your anxiety dog to.
Right. But if you look at like TGI Fridays, like when I worked at Budweiser in the 90s, you were 3 deep at the bar at the Fridays on Mullen Shaner. Like that was the hot spot at 4:05 on a Friday.
And it's,
good God.
And you and I are like 5 years apart or so. And my cousin's 5 years old. It's same thing. Loved the Fridays. Loved all of that stuff. That was like the hopping bar spot to be.
Yeah.
And in that distance, like from your like mid-30s and down, it's like people would not be caught dead.
But nothing's changed. Nothing's changed at those places. That's the problem. When you don't evolve, when you don't change to the taste of the what's coming up, you fail. You lose. And I think that's what's happening right now.
Or when you try to change and you do it like inauthentically.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, we're going to offer 4 craft handles and a shitty craft cocktail. And then like we're still going to deep fry some cheese.
Right.
That's not what that's
well,
not what people
Red,
want.
Red Robin – oh, sorry, Jared. Red Robin was always like – didn't they call their bartenders like master mixologist?
I don't know.
So corny, man.
That's not a thing. The word mixologist ever since it came out.
And so do bartenders. Bartenders hate
Dude,
that
so,
word
I
too.
I was a bartender for a while. And like, and that's why I hate it. I'm like,
but Dave, you hate people.
I hate a lot of people. But it's Jared and I talk about the great like paradox of my life is run a networking group with 8,000 people. Hate people. But no, so I mean, it's like as a bartender, like
you're there to do the web stuff. I like all the people.
Actually, making drinks is such a small part of your job.
Right.
Like, so, okay, like you can be a friggin' master alchemist if you want to, but if you suck at interacting with people, which is what I found the vast majority of mixologists do,
you're half psychologist.
You suck.
Yeah. But if you have to, like, deal with people on like a psychologist level of like,
dude, I've said,
I want to hear your problems.
I've said, well, not only that, but I've said it a billion times. Like, everybody in the IT industry should be forced to be a bartender for like 6 months at a minimum, because it makes you learn that, okay, that person at the end of the bar that says they don't want to be talked to, but they
do
really want to be talked to.
Do you ever go to New York? I went to a Smith and Walensky's, which at the time they weren't here, so it was cool for me to go. It was like 10 years ago.
Okay,
That was like going to a Broadway play. Those two bartenders played the crowd like a fiddle. It was like watching Cocktail.
I was going to say it was like Cocktail.
Yeah, it was like Tom Cruise and the British guy, whatever the hell's name is, like just put on a show. And it there wasn't a show of throwing bottles around. It was a show of interaction and making – it was engaging.
It was you and I being bartenders.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. My God. Right.
But
right. One night a week only. I can't handle any more than that.
So only a small percentage of people are coming for the technicals of the drink. The vast majority of people, what they want is to be entertained.
Right.
They want a good time. Yeah. That's what people are coming out for. Like I love – we have this Butcher's Cut bourbon from Detroit City Distillery. It's really good. I think it's awesome. I would recommend it to anybody. But the vast majority of people are like, I want bourbon. I want a good time. Right?
Well,
they're going out to have fun.
And also the other side of this, and we talked about this on Herd Podcast with Mike Forsyth, who is an owner, is that if you look at the back of this bottle, it says age 1 year. And the immediate –
well, they haven't been around that long.
Exactly. But the immediate kind of reaction to that is like, well, I want the 10-year age, whatever.
Those are total crap.
Well, don't force me to be snooty.
Yeah. Right. Well, and this is the issue. 25
year.
Right. And like, or it's like, I want Pappy on the label. It's like, no, that's not a thing. Like, you want to spend $100 on a Pappy label?
Can we be honest for a sec?
Yeah.
We did the Pappy flight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Skeptical Dave was not impressed.
I still haven't had Pappy. I don't care to have it.
Oh, no.
This 1 year Detroit bourbon?
We did the 12, 16, 18?
18, yeah. It was $140.
Yeah. Dude,
that's exactly the reaction that most people
would. I would take a shot of Kessler, a shot of Jack, and a shot of
Beam.
Yeah. I would have been more happy.
Well, I feel like this is the same kind of thing as like with camera gear or whatever. There's a certain point where like your return diminishes with the amount of money that you spend, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like the difference between a $60 and an $80 and a $200, like they start to fall off as far as like actual different scene.
Well, and some of it comes down to what are you actually getting from that like are you actually getting an experience that makes that worthwhile?
So when I went to Japan and I drank Suntory whiskey, it was amazing whiskey. And I came back and it was like a $75 fifth.
Yep.
And that hurt. And now I came back and like Sugar House used to have it for $12-15
uh-huh.
for a pour.
I remember.
That's a $28 pour now. So now I think nothing of it. I'm like, give me the Yamazaki.
Yeah.
And I look at my bill and I'm like, babe, I go, oh my God, $56 for two shots. And I go,
sorry.
No, it's like, I'm paying for it. But I'm like, when the hell did this become a, like, I just wanted a shot, like. And I get no show, no entertainment. This is like from just like Grey Ghost, which is a nice place. I liked it. But I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's no entertainment value that goes along with
you're charging
getting
$30 a shot. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to drink that anymore. Like, it just becomes stupid.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Like, you order a cocktail for the show? That's what they're pushing you into, right? Like
it's just part of the fun experience, right?
Well, that was bad luck. Bad luck was a great experience because of that alone.
Oh, yeah. Yanni's a genius. I remember him at the Sugar House. I used to live around the corner from it. And back in the day before it was like – I'm going to sound like a hipster right now. But before it was super duper popular and just popular, you could go in there on a Wednesday or a Thursday and it would be easy to just hop right in. And he would try drinks and things. And this guy was a genius. And he has a great time and he's like, oh, he understands that it is here to have a good time and a great night and a great, you know,
my wife still talks about that night there.
Yeah.
She doesn't talk about the last 73 times we're at Duffy's. Still talks about that night of bad luck.
Exactly. Like that was
worth every penny I spent there. And I didn't complain about the bill 1 second.
Right. And that's the thing is one of our writers.
She felt so. Like that, you know, it's that whole like getting into that, oh my God, we're getting in. It's like, oh my God, this place is secret. And it's that feeling, that rush you get, like going to like you don't feel like you're in Detroit.
But
dude, go on a date there. It's different. Like going with me, you're going to have a sucky time because you're going to go meh. Go with a date and she gets all happy and you don't care about it anymore about the meh because the girl you're with
But the larger issue is that like we don't have enough of those places in the area.
No.
We don't.
No.
You can't go to a restaurant and have that feeling come out. Like, you're like, if you go to Grey Ghost and you're like, oh, I'm going to wait 20 minutes, like, I'll wait 20 minutes. You're not going to wait an hour and a half at Grey Ghost or at
nope.
anywhere.
I can win an hour and 20 minutes anywhere.
And that's the Detroit issue is that like we don't have those hour and a half places.
Then you go
that
to Chicago and Cheesecake Factory is 3 hours.
Exactly.
I ain't waiting there either.
No, you know what they do in Chicago? Hold on, Jer. You know what they do in Chicago? They go there like at 4. They put their reservation in. Then they go shopping for 3 hours. Yep. Then they know they're sitting down eating at 7. Right? But there's places to go shopping, which we don't have here. Right? That's the problem.
And that is not to disparage the places that we're talking.
You don't want to go look and buy $120 t-shirt?
No.
Before you go to the bar?
But like, I remember in the early days of Sugar House, the secret weapon was you go to LJ's for a couple $5 cocktails with your little thing. Or it was
or Mercury across the street.
You went to Slo's to have a meal and a drink. You go to LJ's, they give you the little thing. You like wait, you know, you have a couple $5 cocktails, and then you go in, you're ready to go. It's a great time. We need to have more experience places. One of our writers, Devin O'Reilly, he talked about the case for the Bad Luck Bar because Metro, yeah, that's right. There was a plug. Metro Times, a bunch of other places just tore into it. And we were the ones who wrote a piece. It was like the case for the Bad Luck Bar. We need more places that really show a unique experience.
It's a great experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So now you're advocating for the let me show you.
And I can tell you, we had recently had friends in from North Carolina. They're like, take us to your best places. And we took them to Standby, took them to Bad Luck. And that's where we went. Like, and they were blown away. Not because of like the price point or whatever. It's just good service and good drinks. Like everything was good.
When do you take me to these places?
What's that?
When do you take me to these places, Jim?
Whenever you want. I'll take you whenever.
Randy.
Well, that's what a lot of local writers miss. They get caught in the snark and they get caught in the – they don't understand the bigger picture. Like certain places are for certain things,
right? You're not going to take an out-of-town guest to Applebee's on 8 Mile.
But also like what also gets lost is – Last night,
it's your father-in-law, and that's all he wants to go to.
He's going to go for that blackened chicken pasta. Right. You give it to him.
But I went to Elamere yesterday on Warren, and like Elamere is inexpensive. It's consistently fantastic. You learn the menu, you order a few things, and like everyone's happy. Like you can't get Elamere anywhere else in the country.
We also really need people to push the boundaries more with where they're willing to try. Like Yemen Cafe is amazing.
Because I'm sorry, where is that?
In Dearborn. I'm Warren, across from Super Greenland.
That's not Detroit enough.
No, it's not Detroit. It's not Detroit enough. That's the problem. No. Yes.
Can I voice that real quick? We talk about this all the time. I travel the country, and it's become a sticking point with me where everywhere I go, like, do you celebrate 312 Day in Chicago? And they look at me like I'm an idiot. Like, hey, if someone lives in Skokie and they say they're from Chicago, do you get mad at them? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this city is so fickle. You'd think we'd have enough problems.
I don't think fickle is the right word.
No. I mean, but it's our culture.
But no.
Our culture.
It's not bullshit culture, Jer. This town, like you don't get to stake your claim.
We just moved to the city a friggin' year ago.
I don't live in Detroit. I never have lived in Detroit.
I think I'm the only one here on this table who actually does.
Yeah, and I will literally tell people, like, I love places to eat there, but I don't live there. And I don't give a shit that, like, if people want to say, like, oh, you don't live there, you can't speak about it. If you don't want to listen to me because
kiss
I don't live
my
there.
Ass.
Well, no, I don't even say that. Like, it's like, that's fine. Don't listen to me.
No, I'm a kiss
I can
ass.
Tell you where good places to eat are, but I don't care, like, I don't live there. I'll be honest about that because I
– You don't need to be though. That's
dude,
the problem.
Here's the thing. You know, like I did my time. You know what? I lived downtown Boston when nobody wanted to live in downtown Boston.
Hold on, Jared.
I lived downtown D.C. when nobody wanted to live in downtown D.C. So when I moved out here to Michigan in March of 96, dude, Detroit's got nothing that any other city doesn't already have. And so, you know what? I've been going downtown since I moved out here 21 years ago now. Plus, kiss my ass. I don't know Detroit.
Well, and not just that. Hold on. Not just that. It's the – I told you. Well, you would go somewhere out of town on business. Where are you from? And you would say Auburn Hills, Michigan.
When I first moved out
Michigan.
Here, I go back east. Oh, where are you living now? Rochester Hills. Where the hell is that? It's about 20 minutes north of Detroit. Oh, I need to say Detroit.
I'm not allowed to because the residents
back
of
then,
Detroit.
No, back then that wasn't a thing.
Well, back then you didn't want to because you'd get fart face.
Yeah, because back then it was Detroit.
You fart
carried
face.
A gun.
Right. I understand.
It depends on the topic, right? Like if we're talking about intimate socioeconomic issues of whatever, then you need to have some experience with that. If you're talking about what restaurant you like, then it doesn't matter. Like, there's no logical reason to have to play this. There's not even a logical reason to play this Detroit versus
Wait, hold
suburbs.
On. Mike Dennis waited 3 hours to sagebrush in Lake Orion. Like,
why?
I don't know. I gotta talk to you, Mike. I don't know.
And sagebrush?
No, he just tweeted. Sagebrush?
Mike has so many issues. That's the least of them.
But
honestly, even screw you with the intimate socioeconomic issues. Because, again, walked through this in Boston. Walked through this in D.C. I was the gentrification guy that moved into Southie in Boston. I was the gentrification guy that moved in, that bought a house on Capitol Hill at 13 and C in Southeast in D.C. Kiss my ass about this socioeconomic bullshit.
Okay. We like to think that everyone else hit.
You think Chicago doesn't have Southside?
And we're not. All these things other cities went through 10, 15
but
years
ago. But that's Bob's point, is that kiss my ass that you're unique. Kiss my ass that you think that this is like a unique, that Detroit is so effing special that this is the only place that has these issues, that has this identity, mm-hmm. that has this personality. No, you're just the only one that has this frickin' complex.
I think the issue larger than that is that Detroit wants to, there are people that have seen this happen elsewhere and they want that to be fixed. And that's the issue that's the difficult part.
But then they complain. But then they complain when the stuff gets fixed.
I know.
That's the paradox going on right now.
I get it.
Is it's getting tugged from
the
both sides.
The guy bought a building at the end of my block that's been vacant for 20 years, and he's not putting in the kind of business that I want.
I know. I understand that.
Both sides
and
are pulling.
And it's a tough struggle because
they're protesting buildings getting torn down that they didn't give a shit about for 30 years.
But these aren't issues of torn down. It's an issue of like bank financing and the issue that comes up a lot, especially in the industry of like a food and beverage, is that like the issue is people of color or like females versus males don't get enough money. The issue is not, and I think it's more complicated than that. It's that people in our industry of food and beverage don't get enough money because our industry doesn't produce the margins that are wanted by banks.
Right.
And the issue is not necessarily color of skin. And I don't know if this is like totally true, but I feel like we've tried to at our bakery at Aykroyd's like trying to get money. It's like they're like,
Is Dan an owner?
No, Dan's not an owner. It's different spelling. However, they're like, guys, like, you don't produce the margin that we want as a bank. And it's like,
well, then they look at
restaurants. They don't say like, you're owned by a female because we're owned 100% by a female. It's like, are you guys like going to be owned by a white male because we'll give you more money then? That's not a thing. Or we're not like, oh, well, we're owned by a minority. Like, are you going to be owned by a minority soon because then we'll give you more money?
Right.
That's not a thing either. It's just that we don't have the margins to produce for them. We're like, we want $500,000. They're like, oh, well, where's the money you're making?
Where's your 60% margin in the first 2 years?
And this is the thing.
When they look at bars and restaurants going 3 to 5 years, and then they change.
They you know? Basically are like, shit, we don't want you guys because there's so much change in your industry.
So let's transition real quick into some happy talk. You know, I try to hit all the new places. I want to find out what's good, what's not. For some schmo like me that goes downtown 3 days a week that isn't Detroit enough, where's some cool – like I haven't been to – I haven't eaten at Townhouse. I mean, there's a few places I haven't eaten at.
Okay.
What's legit and what's hype right now, like in terms of let's go in the 7-2 and right around.
Okay, so I'm going to be perfectly clear with you. I am like a consistency over what's cool guy, right?
Fair.
I'm not going to tell you what's necessarily in Detroit. I like Corsi's in Livonia. They make great pizza all the time. It's fantastic, no matter when you go, right? I like Kotoy before it was Takoy, which isn't like
George Takei.
Before it was the correctional facility right. that it is now.
Right. No, and I haven't been back.
The electrical substation.
Yeah, George Takoy.
They're changing Kobo to Boko. Based, you know, it's Boko, so it's, yeah. so it's not bad now.
Go with it.
It's like, Obak.
Yeah.
So I haven't been to Koi yet. I will go.
I won't.
I'm sure it's
really. I won't.
You won't go.
No, okay.
I will go. You won't. What it was
you won't. Okay.
You won't
I like it, but whatever. Like you know, that's fine. Ahar, Indian. If you like Indian food, yeah. Ahar in Canton.
Okay.
Or wait, no. It may not be Canton. Whatever. Wherever it is, it's some suburb outside of Detroit. It's fantastic. Okay. Everything's good on the menu. Like, here's the thing. Like, I'm not a person that's like, I'm gonna go where. The new place opens. I don't care. Like,
I went to the Beer Keller in Taylor.
Yeah.
I had to drive down there.
Yeah.
German place.
Good.
You're in your grandpa's basement.
Okay.
And I will go back for the sauerkraut balls.
Okay.
You can put that in the intro.
What's a sauerkraut ball?
You're a huge fan of that.
Is that deep fried sauerkraut?
It's sauerkraut and cheese and meat deep fried. And it's
Bob loves delicious. Putting the balls okay. in his mouth.
And this bar was awesome. It was loud. And it wasn't – you go there and you think it's German, Beer Keller, B-I-E-R, you know. And
yeah.
The menu was a slightly bit German. Just – it was such a great bar.
Okay. So let's talk about the larger issue of like being shamed into liking what – not liking what you like, right? So the larger issue with a critic or anyone who writes about food is like, oh, you shouldn't like this because I don't like it. Fact of the matter is, like what you like. If you like a deep fried sauerkraut ball with meat and cheese,
yeah.
I'll mouth. Probably like it too.
This guy yelling at me for drinking Pabst in the lobby. Yeah.
Well, no. I was yelling at you about liking the Domino's pizza. The Domino's pizza was nonsense. The Pabst in the lobby is fine. The issue, though, is that like what you like. Like that's what like no critic will tell you that.
Well, no good. Well, the thing is that shouldn't a food critic help be a guide into new experiences, right? Shouldn't it be more about new experiences and widening out your palate as opposed to saying, you know, one of the reasons I like Wright & Company so much is that so many of its dishes are approachable where it's like, okay, you can have an on-ramp with like really fancy potato chips or something else like that. That's something you can understand, and then you go into something more complicated, right? And so a food critic, a food guide in a lot of ways should take you – and this is my position as an editor. It should show you new experiences and try different things that you didn't – that you maybe not thought of before as opposed to, well, I feel this about the technicals of such.
Well, you brought up an interesting point with the Indian place, and Jared, this brings me to this. Indian places, I just started eating Indian food and they're completely 100% unapproachable. The menus for a German American born guy,
right.
I have no effing clue what to eat.
And they don't help,
Bob. And they don't help.
Butter chicken.
That's what I ordered. But then I ordered butter chicken and tandoori chicken and it was the same thing and
Bob,
I got yelled at.
You want the buffet. It's go to the buffet, pick and choose.
I loved Indian food the first time I ate it, but it was so hard to navigate. It's kind of like a Indian.
That's going to the
okay. So here's a couple assumptions
like
that are made.
Guy
we'll talk about
looking at schnitzel on a menu.
I'm going to talk about Jeremiah first, and then we'll talk about you. So what you're talking about refers to the fact that if someone walks into a Wright & Company, they're able to afford Wright & Company, and they're able to experiment on the menu, right?
Also understand the menu, not just money, but understand.
Yeah, exactly. And there's issues of like – so we have like this potato chip nacho dish on the menu that's understandable, and there's nothing wrong with Wright & Company. They do what they do. They do it very well. The issue of like Indian food. So you go in and you order butter chicken, but you don't know that tandoori chicken is – also butter chicken in sauce.
Yeah.
So that's what butter chicken is. It's tandoori chicken slathered in sauce. And that's fine. You wouldn't know that because they're not explaining it to you. And also Wright & Company's not explaining to you that what you're buying is really fancy potato nachos. And that's fine too.
Well, I understand that they're really fancy.
Oh no, I know you understand.
You go to Joe Cool's on Big Beaver, it's Irish nachos and it's $6.
That's not okay anymore. Bob, that bar's gone.
Joe Cool's?
It's gone.
It's gone? It Joe Kulski's is gone?
Last time I drove
by,
it was gone.
Dang.
That was a look.
It's like it's a mattress store now.
Oh, yeah. Boo. Yeah.
So the thing is, like, we try to, like, have this veneer of, like, not really explaining what is happening. And I think in terms of like the service industry here, like we could be very – we'll be much better off if well, we just like are honest about shit.
And I think that's some of the pretentiousness factor is, well, if you don't know, then why are you here?
Well, this is Detroit. This
I get it.
This is not Chicago. This is not New York. There needs to be on-ramps. That's just the reality.
Well, but dude, I've said that about One-Eyed Betty's and like a lot of the like the huge microbrew pubs. Like, how do you have a menu that's like an 8.5 by 11 or like 8.5 or 11 by 14 sheet of paper, and you don't have a simple, hey, dude,
look at Hopcat.
If you like Bud Light, here's what you want.
That's Hopcat. Like, we have 130 drafts. Like, navigate that shit yourself.
Yeah.
That's exactly and
that's my point.
Betty's is so much better than them. But also, like, Hopcat's like, oh, well, here's your 100 draft list. Navigate it and order something and hope that it's good for
see,
you.
That's why I like hold on, Jared. That's why I like BFD.
Yeah.
I got 65 on tap. And if you don't know, they know.
They know.
And they're gonna
right.
tell you.
I like Bud Light. Oh, we're not gonna judge you for liking Bud Light. Like, okay, cool
well,
that you
silently
like that.
We will.
Well, but we're gonna direct you. And this is the issue that Sugar House had when they opened. Sugar House was like, oh, you like a Bloody Mary. Well, we don't do vodka, so go for yourself. That's not the thing. Sorry about the F word. However, they're like, now we're gonna fix that, and we will point you in a direction that we can do, and right. So that's about evolving.
But I get like,
well, but that's sales 101. Hey, I don't have, but I have.
Exactly.
It's also, Dave, we talk about this on Meatball. Know what you're going into when you're going. If you go to a brew pub, don't ask for Bud Light. Don't go. Right? If you go to a country bar, don't bitch about country music. If you go to a Polish bar, don't bitch.
They had
a networking event at Falling Down Beer Company, and I couldn't get a glass of wine.
You can have your preferences. But be open to suggestions. That's the key to all of this. Have your preferences open to suggestions.
Wasn't that like life in general?
Well, of course. But like so many people are cut off from that, right? Like this is why Kid Rock for Senate is a thing, because they're like, we're going to be cut off from our suggestions and we're going to be cut off
the
opening.
Made in Detroit. Restaurant or
any all of that. Like it's like, oh, I'm going to have Southern food that's made in Michigan. No, you're not. You're not going to have really good Southern food at a Kid Rock restaurant. You're not going
to
have that.
Go to Cracker Barrel.
You might have your truck.
I'm sorry. Like, that's it. Like, you're better off at Cracker Barrel.
Dude, the best story. I got to tell the story. We're in Perrysburg, Ohio for a soccer tournament.
Which we're going to in two and a half weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
We go to Cracker Barrel for breakfast, and my wife gets grits and gives my 3-year-old a spoonful of grits. That kid sat there for 10 minutes with chipmunk cheeks going, and wouldn't swallow it, wouldn't chew it. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. She's like, every time we're like, what are you doing? She'd just shake her head.
It's like watching a dog with a grape. Oh, food. No, that's a ball. No, it smells like food.
It's like me and Applebee's. Like, no, wouldn't spit it out. I could laugh my ass off. But it like reminded me so much of this conversation right now. Just a mouthful of like, get it out of here.
The larger issue falls on the people waiting on people. So like us in the service industry side, it's like, let's talk to people. Let's listen. Let's try to figure out what they want and what they need. And if it's not what we want to serve them, like let's switch course and serve them what they want.
Well, but it's kind of like, isn't it about serving customers? Whatever
that's
you're
what I'm
doing,
saying.
Business and whatever. Like your job is to serve people. Everything you get in life, even if you think you're some sort of solopreneur, which is a buzzword or whatever.
Oh, stop. Don't ever
what
say
the hell
again.
Does that mean?
Nothing. Don't. Okay. Don't.
But
I'm a CEO of a company.
Don't,
of one.
Stop. Get out. Stop right. talking.
Is that Rodan and Fields? I'm sorry. Is that a thing? Sorry.
But that's exactly the point, right? You get everything from other people, and you need to be open to – if people don't understand what you're doing something wrong.
Not necessarily wrong, but you have to explain it better.
It's Tellway. Yeah. They do coffee and Coke and chocolate shakes and burgers and onion rings.
And fries.
And fries.
Yeah.
And that's
Tellway's
it.
Good.
And that's it. It's great.
Yep.
But that's it. And if you walk in there asking for tacos, they're not going to make it. And if you ask their
– How's your pizza?
Not going to make it. Right, just know what you're going into when you go.
Right,
like I think that's 90% of this is what, like you just
it's
can't.
The foundation of worst meatball sandwich.
Well, here's the thing, right? So we have this bourbon from Detroit City Distillery. If you went to Detroit City Distillery and asked for wine or beer, I'm like, we don't have that. Are you going to give them a one-star review because of that? No.
People do.
Some people would.
I know they would. And that's the problem. Like, if you – like, they only had one-year age bourbon. Well, it's like that's all they're serving because it's what their own. They're not serving a 10-year age bourbon because they don't have
they
it.
They haven't been around for – yeah.
Exactly. Right.
And
these are the problem.
I hate people.
I can't wait 10 years to start my business. You're going to have the 1 year. And hopefully you'll like it.
Right. And then you'll come back and then the 2 year.
Right.
And then you'll have the 3 year.
When my business is 12 years old, you'll have the 10 year old because then I made money to be able to.
Right. To let stuff lay around in barrels.
Right.
And that 1 year was pretty darn good.
It was.
Joe, how do we follow you on Instagram and how do we listen to the Herd Podcast?
There are so many places to follow me. Joe Foodie, @ Joe Foodie, @ The Hungry Dudes, @ Herd Podcast.
Herd Podcast. H-E-A-R-D.
H-E-A-R-D.
Yeah, not cows.
Colin.
Not cows.
No.
Not Colin Cowan.
Herd, yeah. Like in the kitchen.
Understood.
If you're into
understood.
That stuff.
Yeah, Herd.
Herd.
Joe and I still own we co-own the world championship of the millionth beer drank at Clubhouse BFD in Rochester Hills.
We do.
Yeah.
We should take a photo of that.
We
tonight.
Fought.
Do we
fought.
Have – is it here?
No, it's at my house.
Yeah, you co-own
sorry,
it, but
Jason.
It's at his house.
Sorry, Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, you co-own it, but he brought it home.
We fought about that.
Well, yeah. It's cool.
But we own it.
I'm okay.
We have to go to Beer Fest and take pictures.
Yes.
It's so that's on your task
October?
List.
September?
Oktoberfest is coming up.
Yeah.
Let's wear the belt then.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Oktoberfest is coming.
But hey, Joe, thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Appreciate Dave loves you for all the F-bombs that he's going to edit out.
You're welcome.
So this episode should be out by, I don't know, next Monday, Tuesday.
The way things are going.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But hey, we're gonna wrap things up for episode 212 of the IT in the D podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Bluehost and HelloFresh. Thank you for keeping the lights on.
Always.
Thank you to Dr. Hook Jeremiah from DailyDetroit.com. Probably the best place with
he's the
garbage.
Best self-plugger this side of Backbench.
That too. No, but for every publication that's out
Where's
there.
Where's the bell? Where's the damn bell?
Randy got that.
I was trying to be nice to Jer. And then thank you to Mike Dennis also says Joe Kulski's is still there. The mattress store is next to Five Guys. That's what he said. So I'll take his word for it. I need the Irish nachos. Looks are good.
I don't trust his judgment.
But on behalf of myself, Bob, and Dave, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here.
And try that. What? Oh, no.
No, wrong show. You'd rather do that show than this show nowadays. I take it. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Emergency destruct system is now activated. Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! A chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.